What does the word luxury mean to you? Is it a custom-built mansion on a private island? A supercar that contains the world's most advanced features? A rare piece of jewelry that's only available to a select few? Or perhaps a gourmet meal made with specially sourced ingredients? Join me as I explore the many faces of luxury, speaking with the experts, connoisseurs, and curators who deal in life's finest things. My name is Arpan Ghosh, and you're listening to The Luxury Podcast. There are few greater luxuries in the world than being able to design your own home just the way you want it, to complement your lifestyle and your personality. However, there are so many different factors that go into that, from the choice of materials, to the choice of contractors you're working with, to the timelines of construction to ensure that everything's ready and in working order before you move in. So many different things needed to achieve perfection. Fortunately, there are people that can help. In this episode, I am joined by Brendan Carberry, the Managing Director of Shield Contract Services, an advisory firm that makes the process of creating your perfect home just a little bit easier. Welcome to the show, Brendan. It is very good to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Arpan. Glad to be here.
Now, Brendan, you are, as I understand it, a consultancy firm that works with developers, that works with different construction firms and contractors to essentially smooth out the delivery process for a construction project. You take all these different facets and tie them together into something cohesive. What exactly does that entail, and what is the breadth of the services that Shield Contract Services provides?
Yeah, we're essentially an advisory service who would represent clients who may be looking to develop projects, whether it be new build or refurbishment. Mm-hmm. We would then provide contractual, commercial, and project management services, enabling a full A to Z development cycle for our clients. What this means, we can take it from kind of project feasibility stage. We would then take the briefing and concept through to the design, and then we'll bring in the right consultants, and ultimately into the oversight of tendering and delivery of the projects.
All right.
The experience profiles of our team members that are fairly wide-ranging, and to date, sectors covered have included high-end residential developments, commercial projects, F&B, retail, hospitality fit-outs, office refurbishments. We've pretty much covered every entity here. But it shows our strength in that our team profile ensures that we can offer the right fit for each individual project and manage the budget in each assignment. You know, with full visibility for that client, we work in a very transparent manner.
And as I understand it, you're very hands-on with your approach. We were speaking before, and you mentioned that you're primarily site-based, so you're very involved with your projects.
Yes, I mean, the difference with using Shield is the clients are pretty much dealing with the owner of the company and the directors of the company.
Right.
And we take our projects very seriously. We love what we do, and we understand, particularly on the residential side, that we're not just delivering a house here. It's someone's dream home. So you can't help but be emotionally involved. And with that, we kind of live and breathe the project. As do the teams that we bring in, the design teams, the contractors, the consultants. You know, we all pull in the same direction, and ultimately that's to deliver the best possible project and outcome for the clients.
Now, in terms of the high-end residential, what are some of the projects that you are currently involved with? Anything that you're able to speak about?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we obviously don't go into details of our clients, but the projects currently that we're delivering would include very high-end residential projects ranging from 15 to 30,000 square feet, varying between new builds and refurbishments, whereby we've selected the right teams to execute the design and build within different budgets. Mm-hmm. I mean, some clients have more to spend than others, but essentially we would bring in the design team to work within a budget. So we can value engineer at that stage, which shortens the process of delivery. So areas that we're covering, we've got projects in Emirates Hills, Dubai Hills, Jumeirah Bay, Palm Jumeirah, and each project is its own little world. Everyone's got their own vision of what they want, and these projects are very, very special, so we live and breathe them. So
And in a place like Dubai, there are quite a lot of very unique projects that you get to work on, I'm sure. I mean, you yourself have been in the construction industry for, I think, a little over 30 years now. And about half of that in the UAE, or in Dubai specifically, if I'm not wrong.
We've been in Dubai 14 years now,
All
which
right.
has absolutely flown by. The first project I actually worked on here was Burj Khalifa, which was an
Really?
incredible experience.
Oh, wow.
And I've
That's.
had the privilege to work on some pretty special projects before setting up Shield, including Dubai Airport, Jumeirah Beach Hotel, Waldorf Astoria, Conrad. Really top-end finishes. So it's enabled us to pull that supply chain and use that network and relationships throughout the period of working with these big contractors
Right.
in for our
Right.
clients now. So it's been an amazing transition. I'm very blessed.
That's quite a fascinating journey. I mean, what are some of the most significant changes that you've seen in your time? I mean, the way that things were done 14 years ago versus the way they're done now, I'm sure there are huge differences.
Oh, massive, yes. I
Yep.
mean, obviously the advances in technology have certainly helped with providing almost instant detailed information.
Right.
Computer modeling to smooth out coordination, global supply chains. It's made life easier to a certain extent. But probably the most encouraging changes have certainly been within health and safety.
Right.
Now, I mean, that's globally, but particularly in this region. When we first moved, it was quite an eye-opener to see, these buses with no air conditioning,
Oh, yes.
labor
Right.
just laying anywhere there was shade. And so to see the improvements in health and safety is probably the most encouraging change throughout my career.
And I'm sure that'll just keep growing as the city grows. One thing that I did want to ask about was continuing on with health and safety. What sort of impact have you felt from, the past couple of years with COVID? How has that changed things for you?
I guess it kind of led me more into the residential market. Before, we were
Okay.
working on pretty large scale commercial hospitality projects, and a lot of those projects kind of went on the back burner. But obviously, Dubai became a very favorable place for people to live when they seen that, outside the first probably 3 months of lockdown that we had here, things turned pretty quick back to normality. I mean, it's encouraged a big influx of high net worth individuals to set up base here. And you'll see that within the residential market in particular. I think there's been something like a 70% increase already the other day at this end. And it's just incredible. We've got quite a few projects on Jumeirah Bay Island, and just to see the evolution of that place is just amazing. So yeah, I mean, it's the whole COVID, it's kind of put us in this marketplace, and it's the area that we're most passionate about. I mean, like I said earlier, we are emotionally involved with every one of these projects, whereas large-scale commercial projects tend to be more contract-driven. These are more individual-driven, and we want to obviously work within a client's budget. But the most important thing is delivering it on time. They want to move in, they know when they want to move in, and we kind of make that happen as best we can.
Now, dialing things back just a little bit, what led you to founding Shield Contract Services?
I think the biggest frustration I had whilst in employment here was the way that the supply chain were treated. Ultimately, we kind of learned from experiences relayed to us from long-established and reputable contractors who were struggling with the administration of really demanding contract terms, which led them to being caught up in a spiral of challenging payment cycles. So, we're fairly strong contractually and commercially. So we would help these smaller guys who may not have had that department to offer that same security themselves. That kind of then led us to having a whole suite of these really good contractors who, when they're pulled together in a framework agreement, we were then able to offer that to our clients within our network to provide the right horse for course, whether it be an F&B project or a hospitality project or a residential project. We knew the right contractors who delivered those kind of projects really well. So it kind of evolved to pulling in and making a collaborative environment to the employers and clients within our network.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a surety then that we were using the right guys who would deliver the best quality.
Right.
And then obviously the contractors who were working with us anyway knew that they're going to be walking into the right job. It just basically means that everyone's pulling in the right direction, as opposed to the unfortunate thing that goes on here, which is setting up a claims file instead of a procurement file at the start of the job.
Right. Now, kind of leading on from there, I guess, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced since you've started up?
I think the main challenge on all projects is time, really. It goes without saying that every project will involve changes to varying levels. And it's how these changes are managed, which would be key to maintaining the overall completion date.
Right.
And also managing the client's expectations. The understanding of the value of time kind of lends itself to making quick, effective decisions in terms of cost. In other words, if you're going to make significant changes, how we pay for that and how we roll that out is dictated by the end date as well.
Right.
Whether we fly in materials or whether we have to wait for it to be shipped, and just simple things like that. In using the right supply chain, the right contractors, and working in this transparent and collaborative manner, we tend to deliver most of our projects pretty much on time, albeit with a lot of blood, sweat, and tears.
Well, that I think ultimately it does make it worth it.
Absolutely.
In its own way.
And that's why we get continuous business from clients that we've worked with.
Right.
And referrals from you know, our clients, friends, and colleagues.
Now, at the higher end of the residential market, have you often come across any just completely out there demands, or not demands, but any ideas where you're like, okay, this is not something we could realistically deliver on at all? I mean, you're living in a fantasy land.
Well, to be honest, we thrive on that. It's really kind of, it's a weird sense of pain, if you like. We have clients who, you know, after signing contracts, make significant changes to the point that the contract reflects nothing like what we end up building.
Right.
And the period often changes to a shorter time. We deal with that. But, you know, this is where I'd go back to understanding the value of time against the actual cost.
Right.
We have clients where time is obviously very much to the forefront for them. So they don't mind paying the additional cost for us to, whether it be work 24/7 on night shifts and flying in materials or bringing in teams who are at a premium because they're available at that time.
Right.
But we do that in a very, very open and transparent manner. We kind of work those kind of projects on costs plus, whereby we would go out to the market, make sure that the contractor's using the right supply chain. We often get involved with that. We welcome the clients to get involved with that.
Right.
And again, with that teamwork, with that positive mindset, if you like, that we are able to deliver these challenges and the trust that's already ingrained throughout the process before we even get to site, then everyone's pulling in the right direction. And for me, it's certainly the way forward in terms of procurement.
Now, one of the things that I had read in your company profile is the fact that you have a tremendous focus on quality over quantity. So you'd rather work on a limited number of projects rather than spread yourself too thin and maybe compromise on what you can deliver. Is there like a rough estimate of how many projects you want to take on at a time? Like, is there maybe a certain number per year that you're looking to do?
It depends on the size of the projects, to be honest with you, Arpan,
right.
Because we have some refurbishment works that, you know, take no more than 4 to 6 weeks. So we have like a special team that deliver with those, and then we have these projects that could often be a 2-year project from design through to delivery. So it's difficult to say. On the large scale projects, we would take no more than 5 or 6 large scale projects a year.
Okay.
And then the small refurbs, we kind of, we never overstretch ourselves. We'd always be very honest with our clients and say, look, we're going to have to wait another 2 months before we can do that, or whatever it might be.
Right, okay.
But we would never compromise what we do as a service just for volume of work.
And what do you think is the future of the industry?
Well, I'll not even make suggestions on the technology side, because I'm not qualified to be honest. But certainly from how we deliver projects, I think, you know, there has to be a real focus on the procurement in this region particularly. It doesn't work. I mean, when you have budgets that are unrealistic from the outset, leading to contractors having to spread the net so wide to try to drive the price as low as possible, you end up with poor results at the end of it. And you know, 99% of the time, that means late delivery, poor quality. We are absolutely the opposite of that. We would work only with selected contractors who might dictate a premium. But with that premium, we've got a surety of quality, got a surety of delivery. The guys that we work with, you know, we're all one team. And the flexibility that that allows us means that, you know, an awful lot of the variations that happen, particularly on these residential projects, are absorbed within the contract period.
Right.
We resequence works almost weekly, which is unheard of on large-scale contracts without a claim situation. We avoid that at all costs. And in the manner that we work, in the regular meetings and communications that we have with our client, you know, this can-do attitude that we bring to a project is more important than the budget. And I think the value that that's shown at the end of a project is proven, you know, invaluable to us, because it gets us repeat business.
And what are you looking forward to for the business?
Well, the way that this business has evolved is kind of, it's taken a life of its own. And, you know, I have to say it's the best work that I've ever done in the industry.
Right.
We've, outside of the UAE, we've currently got work in Riyadh, in London, and in New York.
Oh, wow.
And to do that on a personal basis with these clients is so rewarding. And to be working with the right teams, from the design to the consultant to the contractors to the suppliers, you know, it's really powerful stuff when you're delivering these kind of dreams, as opposed to delivering projects that, you know, dictated by the margin for a company. It's really rewarding to see the end result and that client move into their dream home.
Well, I would like to thank you, Brendan, for dropping by and for
talking about
your services. It's been, you know, fantastic. And clearly you've got, as I said, you've got a great voice for this podcast. So I think you're a good guest to have
on. It's another sign of the times that things are turning back to normal, that I'm here and not on a Teams call or a Zoom call. So
right, indeed, yes. And that is definitely something we're fortunate to be able to do. But before I let you go, there is one final component of the interview, which is the quick fire Q&A. So if you're ready, we can begin with that.
Okay, go for it.
All right. The ideal day, a day on the golf course, at the beach, or on the ski slopes?
I'd have to say golf course, but can I split that and have it Europe in the summer and Dubai in the winter? It's a bit hot to be playing here at the moment.
No, that's a very good choice. Any particular like favorites in terms of courses?
No, we're very blessed in Dubai to have, you know, plenty of top standard courses, and you know, we're pretty spoiled here. It's
yes,
an eye-opener when we play elsewhere.
That is very true. Where would you want to retire?
Do I want to retire, I suppose? You know,
well,
what do I do?
That's another good question.
What do I do when I retire?
Right.
I think, look, we're from Ireland, and we're always going to have our main base there. So, you know, we would ideally like to spend probably the summers back home. But you know, we plan on doing plenty of traveling. There's still lots of places in the world on our bucket list to see.
What do you consider to be your proudest accomplishment, personally or professionally?
Oh, I'd say just being a father to our three beautiful children. We're very blessed.
Oh, wow.
They're great kids, and every day is a blessing with them. So I have to go with the personal approach.
That is wonderful. How old are they? Are they pretty young still?
No,
or
actually just as we moved over here, we found out that my wife was pregnant literally the week we moved here.
Oh, wow.
So, the initial intention was that we would move back to Ireland before they started school. Now all three are in school. So we've got a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 9-year-old.
Oh, That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it keeps the house pretty active.
Absolutely. A lot of the time. And it's a great place to raise children as well.
Right. That's true. What is your own definition of luxury?
I guess it would be to be able to travel where you want, when you want, how you want. Live your life to your own way. You know, you're enjoying the finest that life can offer, I guess. But it's not necessarily material things, you know.
Right.
We're very blessed in what we have in life. And, you know, whenever you're grateful for anything, I think what you're grateful for in itself is a luxury.
That's a very good answer. I like that. If you could trade places with someone for a day, who would it be?
Jeez, that's a tough one. That would change almost daily, I'm sure. Rock star, okay. Sports star, business titan, I don't know. Elon Musk strikes me as an interesting character. It would be interesting to find how you think that big and right. How you deal with those kind of responsibilities on a daily basis. I might even drop a few crazy Twitters on his account right. That day as well. But that's he does enough of say. That himself, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You could probably just tweet all day and then head off. What advice would you give to your younger self?
Oh, again, this would change regularly. I'm probably walk out of the studio saying, oh, I should have said that. But keeping it simple, I'd say, you know, life's short. Don't be scared to go for it. Chase your dreams, make them as big, and believe in yourself. And, you know, be good to others. It's a bit cliche, but, right. You know, everyone's carrying their own worries and troubles. So be kind.
Oh, hey, that is good advice. Definitely. All right. And that is it for our quick fire. I'd like to thank you again. Yeah, I think you passed with flying colors. Thank you again, Brendan. Really do appreciate it. And yeah, best of luck with all your projects.
Thanks for having me, Arpan. Appreciate it.
And that's it for this episode of the Luxury Podcast. If you enjoyed this interview and want to listen to more like it, then please do subscribe. And also follow us on Instagram for all of the latest happenings with the show. The Luxury Podcast is a sub-brand of LuxuryProperty.com, an award-winning brokerage that markets the world's finest homes. Visit us on LuxuryProperty.com and follow us on all of our social media channels. Thank you very much for listening, and remember to always appreciate life's little luxuries.